So today, I'm going to talk about what happened in the Bezanin 4 tolerance system when more than one-third the replica might fail. The problem we're going to deal with today is the Bezanin failures. As we showed in the example here, a server is running some service, and we have a bunch of clients who are accessing the service. Usually, the client sends the request to the server. The server will authenticate the request and execute it. And then it will send the result back to the client. However, when server gets compromised, it is possible in one case this server failed to respond to the client request. Or in other words, the system will come to a stop. Or even more badly, the server might send arbitrary bad result back to the client. And this is what we know as Bezanin failures. Traditionally, people solve this problem by replicating service on a bunch of machines in hope that malicious guy can only compromise a small fraction of servers. For example, here, he can only compromise one server. So eventually, this client will be able to get enough matching good result to outnumber the malicious result to get the correct answer. Now let's go into a little bit more detail about this BFT replicate state machines. The first fundamental requirement for this BFT replicate state machine is all the replica should start from exactly the same initial state. And then if the other requirement is all the replica should execute all the operations in the same order, so they can produce the same new result and the same reply to the client. And one of the most classical protocols to do this is called Practical Bezanin 4 Torrent Protocol, which appeared in OSDR 99. Now let's see a little bit high level of how this protocol works. And as we see the picture here, we have four replica A, B, C, D, and with replica C being compromised. And we have a bunch of clients who will issue the request to the system. Suppose first this brew user issues its request by multicasting its request to all the replica in the system. Then the server will run some consensus protocol, for example here, the PBFT protocol, to agree on this brew operation is the next operation to execute in the system. And more importantly, it is this protocol responsibility, as we see here, if there's another red user to issue concurrent operation into a system, then all the honest replica should agree on exactly the same order they will execute this operation. For example, here, the operation 1 should execute before operation 2. In general, BFT and PBFT try to achieve two important properties. The first one is safety property, which we call the linearizability or idea consistency. It says, first, all operations should execute in the same order on all correct replicas. And moreover, it should preserve temporal order of all non-concurrent operations. And from the client perspective, this operation should execute exactly the same as if they are executed on one non-40 servers. And the other important property is the liveness property, which says the protocol should make progress even with some malicious replica involved. And we can see it has been theoretically proven that in a asynchronous system of 3F plus 1 replica, the most replica one can tolerate is only up to F failures. When beyond F failures, for example, in the PBFT protocol, it can have arbitrary behavior and provide no useful guarantee to the system. Now here, we visualize what the PBFT can guarantee us. In the top diagram, I show the safety guarantee. On the x-axis is the number of 40 replica in the system. On the y-axis is the level, different level of safety guarantee. Of course, here, the higher level, the more safety you get out of the system. And we can see here in the PBFT, when no more than F failure, the system will provide linearizability. And when beyond a failure, it provides nothing to the users. Now we see the bottom diagram, which will show the liveness guarantee of the system. Again, here we can have the situation either the system will provide liveness or not. And as we can see here, the PBFT will provide liveness when no more than F replica fail and nothing beyond F failures. And in this talk, I'm going to argue don't simply give up in the BFT system when more than F replica might fail. So what we can and want to achieve here. So first, ideally, one wonder if it's possible to achieve linear observability even beyond F failures, as we show in the green line here. However, unfortunately, as I said before, it has been proven theoretically impossible to do this beyond F failures. So next, we'll see it is possible to do something in between the linearizability and arbitrary behavior to provide some form of weaker consistency guarantee instead of nothing. And fortunately, the answer here is yes. Actually, we can do that, as I show in the green line here. When more than F, but no more than 2F replica fail, we can provide some weaker consistency guarantee instead of nothing. And meanwhile, as the liveness side, we can see this new protocol does not need to necessary to sacrifice any liveness guarantee when less than F replica fail. To summarize, the shaded green area we see here is the actual additional guarantee we get out of the BFT2F system without the cost of anything compared to the traditional BFT protocol. Before I go ahead, first let's go over what happened in the traditional BFT system. First, let me remind you, not like the classical system where a node can proceed after receiving just one message. In the BFT system, a node must wait for some number of matching reply to proceed, because some of this message might contain malicious message. So how many matching reply a node should wait for? And here we define a term quorum, which to be a set of replica where a node can wait for matching reply from. And as we can see here, if we set this quorum size equal to 4, then the system will have no liveness guarantee. Because this single 40 replica, if he refuses to respond to the protocol, then the whole system will come to a stop. And on the other hand, if we set this quorum size equal to 2, then the system will have no linearizability, because if any operation finished in one quorum might not be necessarily being reflected in the other quorum, as I show in the picture here. Or maybe more familiar, this is the classical network partition problem, where if you allow both partitions to proceed to accept new operation, then definitely the system will miss the linearizability. And finally, in the PBFT, one will set this quorum size equal to 3. As we can see here, these two quorum will intersect at least one honest replica, here the replica B. And the replica B will be responsible for reflecting any operation finishing one quorum to all other quorum in the system. So the system will have ideal consistency. Now let's see what happened in the PBFT when more than F replica fail. And in particular, here we can see the replica B and the replica C both fail. And notice, very interesting here, the malicious replica can spoof the network partition exactly in the same way as we see before. So here, the operation finishing one quorum might not be necessarily being reflected to the other quorum, or in other words, the system will miss linearizability. Because as we see here, the two quorum intersect no correct replica at all. So when this happens, the PBFT will provide no guarantee. As I will show in the example here, with four replica, the replica B and C being compromised. In the beginning, they all agree on the same operation. Operation one is finished before operation two. At this moment, we can see the system has ideal consistency. Now, Another brew user come in and issue a new operation, number three. And this operation is only finished in the top column. Meanwhile, if another write user issue an operation concurrently, and if this operation is only finished in the bottom column, and we'll see at this moment the system will miss linear diability because this honest replica A and D have already seen different operations finishing the system. And in the PBFT, when this happens, it is well possible for this honest replica again to see exactly the same operation after this moment. In particular, operation 4 happened before operation 5. And notice this situation is even worse than the traditional network partitioning, in the sense that they will again see the same operation after the misbehave of the system. So we want to define a new weaker consistency model, which we call fault consistency, to at least to preserve this network partitioning property. As we can see here, we have exactly the same setting as before when the system is misbehaved. In the fault consistency says, after this moment, they will only see operation which issue by the client who are connected to their quorum. And they will never be able to see the operation issued by client which connect to other quorum, or otherwise they will be able to detect misbehave of the system. Now I will show you a simple example of why this fault consistency might be useful. Here I show a swipe card access control example. Usually on the campus, for example, people swipe card to gain the access to the building. Here we can see we replicate such control service on a bunch of servers in order to tolerate presenting failures. And we can see here we have two types of clients in the system. An administrator who will grant or revoke access to some building to some user. And we have DOS, which is the other type of client. When the client swipes their card, this dog will query the server to see whether this client should be granted access to the building or not. So in the example here, suppose the first, this administrator grant access to the brew user, this building. And this operation has been finished in the top column. Now when this user comes to the building, try to access the building through the card swiping, then if this door connects to the top quorum, when he queries the system, he'll find the user should be given the access to the building because the top quorum has finished the administrator's operation of granting brew users access to the building. And very weirdly, if this user comes to the other door to the building, when this door queries the server, he will be denied the service because this bottom quorum never sees the operation issued by the administrator. And conversely, even more badly, if this operation is a revoke operation, we can see here this user might be able to access the building where he should not be able to. Why this fault consistency is useful? As we see in the previous example, the fault consistency will leave the replica or clients within the fault view. And any out-of-band communication will reveal this past misbehavior very easily. And as I will describe in the protocol next, this fault consistency will also be able to leave a non-erasable, non-repudiable proof of the misbehavior of the system. Now I will describe such strongman protocol to achieve fault consistency. First, it is based on the BIP protocol. And second, some design theoretician behind this protocol is, first, every replica should keep some of execution history around. And second, remember, in the BFT2F, we want to tolerate potential up to 2F failure, so the client needs to wait for at least 2F plus 1 matching replies instead of F plus 1 in the PBFT protocol. So here, I show you how the protocol works. And we have four servers, A, B, C, D, with replicas B and C being compromised. At this moment, we can see the honest replica A and D have already finished the different operation. Or in other words, the system has already missed linearizability at this moment. And besides that, the client also needs to keep its knowledge of the system state. Usually, it gets back from server in its last operation. So the first step of the protocol is for client to explicitly ask for the latest system state from the system. If the top column is spawned, then they will send back the latest result, which is related to the system state, which is operation 123, back to the client. Then the client will check whether its knowledge of the system state is a prefix of the system state it gets from the server. If so, it will go ahead to issue the new operation here to the system. And finally, we can see here the top column will accept and execute this operation and send the acknowledgement to the client. And finally, the client will update its knowledge of the system state. However, as we see here, if the bottom column also responds, then in the reply, they will send a different system state to the client. Because remember, at this moment, the system state has already been forked. So when client does this check, he will find its knowledge of the system state is already different from what it gets from the server. Then, of course, he will refuse to proceed with the protocol and raise alarm to the system. And moreover, if this bottom column also happens to see the operation the client issued in the second run in the previous slide, this honest replica will also reject this operation, because when he checks, he will find the prestige included in this message is different from what it knows locally. As we see before, this is a two-run protocol. By two-run, I mean for each operation, the client must to issue two runs of communication between the server. And regardless how many phases the server communicate within themselves to achieve consensus. And of course, this two-run protocol has a lot of limitations. The first and most serious one is the protocol might lose liveness if the client crashes between runs. And second, obviously, the protocol will incur much more overhead than the plain one-run protocol. And unfortunately, as we have proven in the paper, in such setting, it is impossible for less than two-run protocol to achieve fork consistency when more than F replica fail. So the approach we take in the BFT2F is to relax fork consistency to allow a one-run protocol design. Now I will define what this fork star consistency looks like. And as an example here, what we left with the previous example, the system state has been forked. In the fork star consistency, it is possible to, after this moment, this honest replica can see the same operation again from some user. However, this misbehavior can happen only once, and after this operation, they will again behave exactly the same as for consistency, in the sense that they will only see the operation issued by user who connect to their quorum. Why this is still useful? As we see before, this kind of anomaly can happen only once, but not more than once. And more importantly, this weaker consistency can allow a one-run protocol design. So what's this protocol look like? Here, I will propose our BFT2F protocol to achieve fork star consistency. As here, we have exactly the same setting as before. In the first run of protocol, the client will send the operation together with its latest knowledge of the system state to the system. And if the top column responds, they will check whether this state is a prefix of its own state. And if so, they will execute this operation and send the result together with the latest system state to the client. Then the client will update its state. And different from previous protocol, notice if the bottom column also responds, when they do this check, they will find the client's knowledge of system state is also a prefix of its knowledge of system state. So in these cases, the bottom column will also execute this operation 4, and finally, it will send the result back to the client. And notice at this moment, operation 4 will happen on a really forked system, which is what fork star consistency gave us. And furthermore, from this moment on, this honest replica will never be able to see the same operation, because we remember that the client will get at most one of the forked state from its previous operation, which will prevent its future operation being shown up in both columns again. Now, let's briefly revisit this cast wipe example to see what fork star consistency means. So here, when this user gets to the other door which connects to the other column, it is possible for him to be still able to access the building. Because remember, in fork star consistency, it says when the system has been forked, this door belonging to the other column might still be able to see one operation issued by the administrator in the other column. So here, he will notice nothing goes wrong here. But however, this thing can happen only once, and after that, it will behave exactly the same as previous example, where he can only access to some doors but not others. And eventually, he will notice this is a problem. And finally, I'll briefly describe what the optimization we do in the BFT2F to make the protocol practical. And first, we recursively hash down all the state to a single hash value. So effectively, we can represent the execution history with a series of hash value instead of a series operation to get a more efficient representation. And besides that, every node in the system, including client and replica, should keep a view of all the replica's latest knowledge of the system state here. So when the protocol proceeds, it will only permit communication within the nodes belong to the same column. And if node does communicate within the nodes in the other column, they will be able to find the knowledge of the system state have diverged. So they will be able to raise alarm to the system. And finally, we'll see what the performance of BFT2F. As I said before, in the BFT2F, a node need to keep additional state. For example, also you need to generate hash value for each new operation, which definitely is more costly. And we can see here, the BFT2F is roughly about 25% slowdown compared to the plain PBFT protocol. And we think this is acceptable, consider the additional benefit, the guarantee we get when more than F, but no more than 2F replica fails. And finally, you might be wondering why if it is possible to extend this safety guarantee even further to the right side to get more safety guarantee. And the answer is yes. Actually, we can generalize this BFT2F protocol to a protocol class which we call BFTX to provide extra safety guarantee even beyond 2F failure, as we show here in the red line. However, it does come with additional cost in the sense that the system will lose liveness even when less than F replica fails. So the application will be able to pick which specific protocol to use depending on their security need. And finally, I will conclude. The takeaway message in this talk is don't give up in the BFT system when more than F replica fail. And in particular, we propose our BFT2F protocol. On the one hand, it gives the same guarantee as PBFT with no more than F failure. And that additionally, it will achieve some useful consistency guarantee within F2F failures. So this concludes my talk, and I'm willing to take questions at this moment.
Check. Hey, it's James Cowling from MIT. I think this is really cool research. I don't think people have looked at the problem of above F failures before, not that I know of. So my concern with the BFT protocol above F failures is not just that the protocol breaks down, but that it can appear live and that the system can return incorrect answers. And a lot of the systems where you're willing to deploy 3+1 servers, you really never want to sacrifice correctness. And so I was wondering if you'd looked into the problem of ensuring complete correctness at all times, so not reducing it to fork star consistency, but sacrificing liveness above failure. So ensuring the system protocol actually stops without responding with incorrect answers ever.
So I'm not sure if this slide addressed your concern. Actually, yes, we can kind of like the provide more safety guarantee to push this red line even further to the right side. But however, at the same time, you have to sacrifice the liveness.
But if you do so, you're sacrificing liveness below F failures.
Exactly.
Sure.
That's the kind of trade-off you have to pick.
Yeah, I think it may be an intractable problem to actually provide liveness up to F failures, but have the system never return incorrect answers. But it's an interesting problem.
Right.
Thanks.
Sure.
Hi, Petros Maniakis, Intel Research. So I would like to get some insight from you on the trade-offs that you were considering when you were trying to decide between using traditional PBFD parameterized with a larger quorum to sacrifice liveness but increase safety, or having a two-round fork star protocol or a single round two-round fork consistency consistent protocol, fork star consistent protocol. Can you think of applications in which, for instance, it would make us really need to have one round so it's meaningful to go back to fork star? Because either way, you lose liveness, right? When you're between F and 2F, you will lose liveness with BFD 2F. You will lose liveness with a two-round protocol, according to your argument.
Right, right.
So what's the trade-off there?
So I think there are many problems in your question. I'm trying to like address one by one. So first, let me notice that like in this BFT 2F, we're definitely doing better than the traditional BFT, because this kind of shaded green area we kind of provide. Then, kind of, if you want to go further, then you have to do such kind of compromise, depending on your application need. Then the second is kind of one-run and two-run problem, right? As we see in the example here, probably it's kind of fork star consistency is almost the same as fork consistency, except that it might be a little bit delayed compared to the fork consistency for a client to notice something goes wrong. So in this case, they look exactly the same, but there might be other applications which they might look a little bit different, so as we discussed in the paper. So here, the problem is like finally the problem is one run and two run, as already said, like the fork star consistent can be doing in one run, while the fork can only be doing in two run, right? So here, it brings more serious problem, especially in this replicate state machine approach. This kind of two-run protocol is very problematic in the sense that there'll be a lot of the problem. As I said, for example, you will lose liveness, it'll have much more performance overhead. So we definitely want to go to one run here in our approach. So in the case, we'll only get fork star consistency instead of fork consistency. However, yeah, I do agree there are kind of applications which might differ from the different consistency semantic we get. But in some cases, they might be exactly the same as I show in example here.